This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. As I mentioned last night, just in April, we had 40,000 distinct visitors, because we can tell every distinct visitor. And we have an average length of between 5 and 6 minutes staying, which in the internet world is a long, long time. Most of them average less than 20 seconds. So this shows that people are using it. They're downloading sermons, or downloading a text. And what we want to do with the website is improve it and make it easy to use, highly negotiable, to negotiate around through it. That's what I mean, to travel through it, and to have as much information as we can there. Now, there was a comment made to me when I was back in Manchester, New Hampshire. Anyway, he works with a man who's in a church who'd been talking to him about things in the church, told him about the website. So what he did, he went to the website, and then he came back out of it, and then whenever he had a question that would come up that was at work, he'd go home, do a Google search, guess where it landed? CBCG.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Now, how much growth this is going to produce in the future, God only knows. But I'll tell you what, there are enough people who are skeptical of all religion that they're not going to be making any quick leaps into anything. So it's good to have all the information there, everything right up front, so they know who we are, what we believe, why we believe it, and have lots of material for them to download, to study. And so when they are ready to make a move, they will be more grounded than any people have been through the old system, through the churches of God that we have come out of. Now, that helps ask the question as to why we are all here. Not only the elders, but the men who have been invited to be here. And let's just review something that we covered last night. Let's come to Matthew 22. Because here is the whole reason why we are here, and we do what we do, and a motivation behind it. See, the thing that is important is this, and I'll cover it on the Sabbath too. God the Father has personally called every one of us. And that's a fantastic thing. Too many times we're all like it is in the world. We're used to religion in the world. It's a good place to go, and you meet nice people, and you all more or less believe the same thing, and you're recognized as good citizens in the society, and you, if you're really a good person, you always vote Republican. Got to get a little humor in there. Okay. Now, the true Church of God, or Churches of God, which out of worldwide came, 374 denominations, and growing every day. So that's why I've said my prayer is that God would bring us all to repentance, that we could all preach the same thing, and just think the impact that it would have on the world if there were 374 websites of the Churches of God, which all preach the same thing, then people looking for the truth would say, wow, look at all of those denominations that believe the same thing. But unfortunately, that's not so. Because God gives us choice. And our choices toward God begins right here in Matthew 22. Let's pick it up here in verse 34. Now after the Pharisees heard that he, that is Jesus, silenced the Sadducees, they came together before him. And one of them, so here's a group confronting Jesus, a doctor of the law, questioned him, tempting him, and saying, Master, now he knew the answer before he even asked it. Master, which commandment is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And this establishes our relationship with God after he has called us and dealt with us. Because, see, God demonstrated his love first by sending Jesus to be the Redeemer, the Savior, the sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And it is absolutely true. You can never approach God without a sacrifice. That's why the Passover is the first feast of the year. Very important. So we're going to learn some principles as we go along here. Now notice, it's not a part-time thing. Too many people have religion on Sabbath or Sunday and then they go about their business during the week. He said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. So it involves every fiber of your being. See? You don't do this all at once. And it doesn't happen the instant you are converted. It takes time. You grow in it. And most of us have come out of churches that have had law with very little grace and hardly any love. Because they didn't understand the first commandment. The greatest commandment here. With all your soul, that means your whole physical being. And with all your mind. That's how we are to approach God. And that's why all of us are here today. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So those who are truly dedicated to God have a relationship with God. They do not have a religion as the world considers religion. Though if you believe in God, they consider you a religious person. Because that's how they're trained to think in the world. Now, let's come to John 21. And we'll review what we covered last night just a little bit here. So we can get up to where we need to go today. John, the 21st chapter. And this demonstrates our love to God in relationship to the church. Because, you see, God has chosen to use men to teach, to preach, because we're created in His image and He has a plan for us. And He wants us to participate, just like I mentioned last night. God saved the world through Noah, but Noah had to build the ark. God didn't get down there and start banging the timbers together. He gave him the plans and said, do it. Here's how to do it. So likewise with us. He says, here's your word. You go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them into the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'm with you until the end of the age. Just before that, he said, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. So those who are the servants of God, being elders, ministers, deacons, and faithful men, have the authority of Christ behind them in whatever endeavor that they do, if they're truly loving God and seeking Him, and with this other factor here in John 21. Now let's come here to verse 15. This is after Jesus was raised from the dead and He appeared to them. This is the third time. Now remember the background of this in relationship to Peter. Peter was gung-ho. He wanted to do a good work for God. He would even go to the death for Him. Never deny Him. Jesus said, "Hup, before the cock crows tonight, you're going to deny me three times." No, never. Never happened. Did, didn't it? Yes. So now He comes back at him to make sure that he is, how shall we say, riveted in to what he needs to do. Verse 15. Therefore, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Now this has become very important, because in the churches of God, the way God wants it to be is we love each other, we serve each other, and there are to be no politics such as is in the corporate churches of God. That men climb up the hierarchy by ingratiating themselves to those who are in power. And this is given here by Christ to tell us, you don't run a church that way. So Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." Feed my lambs. Not yourself, not your vanity, not your arrogance, not your personal agenda. Because, see, if you are Christ, then you are His totally, holy, solely, and you have no personal agenda except to do the will of God. And that's why Abraham was counted so faithful, because he obeyed the voice of God. Most people want to hear what God has to say and then give their interpretation on it, and then they want to add something to it which will please them. See, that's why they would be very happy with a dummy Bible with nothing in it. They could make their own agenda. See? Because carnal men in their own vanity feel as though they know more than God and they've got to add things to what God has given. See, that's a total opposite, see. Said, "Feed my lambs." What do you feed them with? Truth. The Word of God. God has chosen to use men to teach. But it's up to the teachers to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being, and teach the truth. And teach what is right. Because God is depending upon the ministry to feed the flock of God so they can attain eternal life. Let's come back here to Ezekiel 34 for just a minute. And let's see how God looks at the church today. It's happened in the past with Israel as a nation. And it's happened in the church. And let me tell you, brethren, I weep for the churches of God, the pitiful state that they are in. And all of the self-serving. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit later, because there's a reason why everybody's here. But as Marlon and Bob Honeycutt mentioned last night, that we're going to have those coming in. We're going to have battles to fight. We need to be alert. We need to have spiritual discernment. And we need to understand what we are doing. And also, we need to guard the flock. Very important. See, because one of the worst sins that ever happened in the church of God was this. Take the faith that people have toward God and divert it to the ministry. And make a minister or the ministry idols. And God's judgment is going to come for that. That's why, in serving the brethren, we must have a pure heart, pure motives. Not that we don't have sins we need to overcome. I have sins I need to overcome. You have sins you need to overcome. That's not the point. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. But we are not to be living in sin. And we are to be growing in grace and knowledge so we can serve the brethren. But here's the pitiful state of the church. Now remember, just put in your notes there, Church of Pergamos, the one with the hierarchy. What did Jesus say? He said, you repent of the deeds of the Nicolaitans and eating things sacrificed to idols, or I will come and fight with you or against you with the sword of my mouth. Now that fits in with right what he's saying here. Verse 9. Well, let's go up here to verse 7. Verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord, surely because my flock, that's my sheep that Jesus was talking about back there, became a prey. You fed off them. You used them. You abused them. And my flock became meat to every beast of the field. It happened to Israel. It's happened to the church. Because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. And as Ken G mentioned last night, if we haven't learned a point, we should never start another college. Let the church and the brethren be the college online and with the materials so they can be educated. See, because we're all in training for eternal life. And that's so far above our thoughts and such a great calling, it is, how should we say, unfathomable with our minds, as finite as they are, but we can realize it and attain degrees of understanding of it, like looking through a glass darkly with the help of God's Spirit. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease feeding the flock. That's why the church is scattered where it is now. And, you know, every time I get the journal, another heresy, another false prophet. And how many warnings has there been? Watch out for false prophets. Watch out for those who deceive. Watch out. And yet, like lemmings going over the cliff, they go right along. And when someone says, after they've been massaged and worked over and deluded, you don't have to keep the Sabbath and holy days anymore. Ooh, hooray. You know you can eat unclean meats, don't you? Really? Let's all go to the Red Lobster. See? God requires it of the ministry. Remember, it says the greater judgment is upon us. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. That's why the church is scattered. God scattered it. He can regather it to those who are faithful. And the faithful brethren God will call to whoever minister, wherever they are, is faithful. We don't want to get an exclusivist attitude here that we're the only ones. Let's understand that. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places that they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the mountains, and I will bring them to their own land, feed them upon the mountains of Israel. And of course, we're spiritual Israel. By the rivers, and water is likened to what? The Holy Spirit of God. And all the inhabited places of the country, and I will feed them with good pasture. But he's going to do it with shepherds. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall they their fold be. And they shall lie in good fodder, and in fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. And God does it through his shepherds. And I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord. Then he says he's going to feed them, strengthen them, verse 16. And it's verse 17, now as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord, behold, I will judge between cattle and cattle and between rams and he-goats. Now then he has something to say about the flock, because they have their problems too. Does it seem a small thing to you that you have eaten up the good pasture and you've tread down your feet on the residue of your pastures, and you drink the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet? You know, there's some people that just go church to church causing problems. And as for my flock, they ate that which you have trodden down with your feet, poor sermons, poor behavior in the church, self-serving. Bring in anything you want with it, you see. And as I mentioned in New Hampshire, and Wayne said he gave a sermon on it, how do we fulfill the Sabbath rather than just keep the Sabbath, so that the Sabbath becomes a real day of learning and growing and overcoming every Sabbath, you see, to where that becomes the best day of the week, to where you learn the most of any time during the week, to where you drink in of the Spirit of God, drink in of the Word of God, and have true fellowship with true brethren that are not coming in with agendas, that they can fellowship with true ministers, that they can trust, because they've proven that they are faithful. They've had so many they couldn't trust, so many hidden agendas, so many hidden things. Amazing. Verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between fat cattle and between lean cattle, between you that thrust with the side and with the shoulder and push all the diseased with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore I will save my flock, and you shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, who is Christ. Now let's come back here to John 21. Now let me just mention something to you. When I first wrote the first edition of Beliefs, that was at that time, right after the Biblical Church of God, this would be the first revision of it after the Biblical Church of God, I was the only elder. We had a whopping big congregation of seven plus me. And I determined in my own mind that if these seven brethren, God wanted me to see them safely in the grave to the resurrection, and that's all he ever wanted me to do, that's fine. That would be fine. I quit writing. I quit presuming anything. I had a job where I had to go out and be a loan broker, which I couldn't do today with ditech.com and so forth. And so I know what it's like to be out there in the world and work, and I know what you men do to sacrifice your time and to give of your energy when you have your work, your business, and everything, and you're going above and beyond to serve God in those matters. And I hope the brethren appreciate that and respect you for it. And I had my own loan broker business until 1995. Dolores worked. She'd even get up at 4:30 in the morning and drive 95 miles to go to work and drive back. So we know what it's like. And we also know, because of that, that God lays a great responsibility. And I look at it this way, that if I'm working full-time in the ministry, which I'm grateful and thankful to do, that with God's help, I'll do it to the fullest possible. And the only way I get things done that I do is because of God and the prayers of the brethren. I get letters all the time. We're praying for you. Just let the brethren know we're praying for you too. Because the greatest need right now is to learn the lesson of John 21. feed my sheep. My word, my truth, my righteousness, my spirit, which is the true fodder of God, correct? Yes. Verse 16, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, shepherd my sheep. Means take care of them, watch out for them, be concerned for them, pray for them, teach them, love them. Teach them how they can overcome their problems. Don't have them come and counsel you and you solve all their problems. That's the job of a hireling and a corporate minister. So they can keep everyone dependent upon a man and have men between God and the brethren. And God doesn't like that. See, we're to be on the sidelines, as I said last night, and we're to be serving. That's why we need to understand what is the proper organization for the church, which we will entitle, the church is God's service organization. And it only exists to serve the brethren so that Christ can build his church. But I think he's pretty sick and tired of building with defective building parts, wouldn't you think? And with untempered mortar. And with crooked beams. And with nails that don't hold. And sloppy workmanship. Shepherd my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, Dolores has a little adjunct to that that she helps me with, which is this. We've had too many vain, strutting ministers. So she says all the time, and she's burned a little place in my brain. And this is the last thing she said to me before I left to come here. Just talk. In other words, just teach. See? God doesn't care about personalities. God can form in us whatever he desires. If we love him and serve him. So he said, I can tell him because he's still looking at political things. Verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, since you were young, you have dressed yourself, walked wherever you have desired, but when you are old, you shall stretch out your hands, and another shall dress you, and shall bring you where you do not desire to go. Now he said this to signify by what death he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, follow me. See, because he knew the proclivities of Peter. That's why each one of us need to know our own weakness and proclivities and bring that before God so that we can overcome that. And Peter's was still political. Verse 20. And when Peter turned, he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, that is, John, who also sat at supper and leaned back on his chest and said, that is, Peter said, Lord? He asked him, Lord, who is that who is betraying you? That was the question that John asked Jesus. So, seeing him, Peter said to Jesus, little jealousy here, huh? Lord, what shall happen to this one? What's going to happen to John? And he said to him, if I desire that he remain alive until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So he said, feed my sheep three times and follow me twice. In spite of everything. In spite of what you think, in spite of what you think you may see, follow me. Don't worry about someone else. Don't compare yourself to someone else. And then, of course, the rumor went around, we know when Jesus is returning. When John dies, Jesus is coming. Didn't happen, did it? But he saw in Revelation the return of Christ, did he not? Book of Revelation. Okay. Now let's come to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Let's answer the question, why are we here? And what are we going to do? Second Timothy, second chapter, let's begin here in verse 1. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Remember, we are to teach and preach grace as well as obedience to the commandments of God. Mercy, kindness, love, forgiveness, and redemption from sin and evil. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, these things commit to faithful men. And that's why the other men are here in addition to the elders. We need faithful men. And I know each one of you who have come and have discerned that you are faithful. And that's not because of yourself, it's because of Christ. Such as will be competent to teach others. And that's what we need to do in the Christian Biblical Church of God. Teach. Teach. Because it's sufficient that the disciple become as the teacher. And the greatest teacher is Christ. Now, we've had some difficulties, which we'll have a report on it here by Wayne and by Roger Kendall. In the fellowship group in Pennsylvania, Stan Timmick comes from there. We won't get into the reasons and causes for it except to say that they wanted to exalt themselves and become ministers. And through changing of doctrine, which we'll get into later. And as Bob Honeycutt admonished us many times, and as we discussed, Roger and Wayne and I, we need to have the right structure in the church. And that right structure also includes those who are deacons. Now, we don't have full-fledged congregations that require ministers. But they require someone who is faithful. Now, Ben, how many meet with you? Just three. He's faithful in helping them. They learn a lot. I know the ones who attend there. And Jesus gave the promise, what? Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. So we start with things like that. Now the men that have been invited here, you're not going to all be ordained deacons today, so don't worry about that. But want you to keep the things in mind that we're talking about here, and we're going to ask God to bless you with understanding, His Spirit, His wisdom, because we can't all carry the load the way it is now. But the church must be educated as to a proper use of elders and deacons. And too many people living in the past because they've been burned. And my word to them is, when will you get over it? Have you seen anything that we have done in Christian Biblical that is like the politics of where you have come from? The answer is no. Then change your opinion and get rid of your skepticism. And don't be judging things that are not yours to judge. For example, we had one severe problem that some people didn't think I took care of in a timely manner. Some problems you let them grow so that you fully understand the problem before you do something about it. And I did get around to it. And we did, with the council of the elders last year, handle the problem in a fair and a just and a proper way. We're going to be faced with other problems. We need to realize that. So we need to seek the assistance of faithful men to help us. Now let's come here to 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And this is my desire for all of those of you who are here who are not elders, that perhaps you can be somewhere down the road. So it's not a matter of electing or climbing or anything like that. It's a matter that if you love God, you love the brethren, and you're faithful and competent and can teach, then we will see what God does in your life. Because we're told you'll know them by their fruits. So let's read the fruits that God says that we need to look to. Faithful is the saying, if any man aspires to be an overseer, and that's what it is, you're overseeing from the sidelines. He desires a good work because you're serving God, you're serving the brethren, you're helping them to attain to eternal life, and as we'll see later, you're also assuring that you will attain to it. Let's go to track 2.